Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta features 426 guest rooms, 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space, several dining options, including art bar, a gastro pub serving locally inspired fare and cocktails, along with an indoor-outdoor swimming pool and patio, 11 landscaped acres of walking trails, and a convenient location to all the attractions located north of Atlanta. Visit www.sonesta.com/Gwinnett Place to learn more about what we have to offer for your next getaway, meeting, or event.
Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio from our Subaru of Gwinnett Studios inside the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I am merely Mike Salmon, but I am grabbing the coattails, as always, of our co-host, Stephen Julian, who really runs the show. Stephen, good morning.
You know, Mike, you just need to work on your pace, get it going up a little bit faster, and then you won't have to hang on to the coattails, and you would be well ahead of me very quickly, I'm sure.
Yes, I do.
Morning. How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I didn't mean to throw you with a running analogy.
No, I gave you a slower pace.
Ah.
I started quick and I slowed down there.
Well, I've told you to pick up your pace, so, but that's okay. Well, let's get out of this show meeting and let's get into the great guests.
How about we let some other folks talk?
That would do much better for our listeners. I'm sure they would prefer that to listening to us.
Three more business leaders here in the studio joining us today from Southeast Morgan. A minute into the show and I've already messed up a name.
All right, so we'd like to welcome this morning.
Southeast Mortgage, J.D. Crow is here. From Franet Atlanta, it's Julie Denice. And from Anderson Tate and Carr Law Firm, we're joined by Matt Reeves. We will start the show, though, with J.D. Crow from Southeast Mortgage. J.D., good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about Southeast Mortgage and what you guys specialize in.
Certainly. We're a residential mortgage lender established in 1993. I would venture to say that we're probably the only local mortgage company that has been around since 1993 that hasn't changed names, changed ownership, gone out of business. So,
what's wrong with you guys?
Well, I guess we're doing something right.
What makes you different from the other mortgage companies? Because there seems like there's one on every single corner.
Yeah, I think the history that we have certainly differentiates us. And I think that that is primarily because of the people that we have. Our staff has been together, some of them for over 20 years. We've developed an incredible core group of leaders. You know, that just permeates throughout the culture. Our culture is incredible. Our process is second to none. We've just been able to build very slowly, deliberately over time.
And I would think, I mean, the people are absolutely the most important asset that you have. It sounds like you got a great culture and process. Is there something in the inner workings that other mortgage companies, are they lending too fast, too quickly? I mean, you mentioned kind of slow and steady. Is it the fact that you guys never overreached and just kind of stuck with the core principles of just doing good business?
I think that's a big part of it. The downturn of the mid to late 2000s was primarily because of product that wasn't sustainable. We never did a ton of subprime business, never did a lot of option arms, products that were risky and lending to people that really should not have been buying houses.
Even in the residential mortgage space, there's a lot of different types of mortgage products in there. There's a lot of different types of residential spaces. I'm sure after being in business since 1993, you can kind of cover it all. Are there certain niches that, single family home, rental property, are there certain niches that you find that you are even stronger than other competitors?
No, I wouldn't say a niche particularly, but I think that what we have done well is established relationships that we serve clients over and over and over again. Whether it's buying their first house, move-up house, a vacation home, a rental property, all of those things are a product of creating a great relationship with a client, and they refer their friends and family.
That doesn't come from you spamming them over and over again. Right. That comes from doing the right thing.
Right. Well, we do have a great marketing team.
Sure,
but it's not a it's not a function of being in front of them all the time. While that does help, it's really about doing a great job, giving them great service, a competitive rate, and just being there for them.
Now, Southeast Mortgage was recently recognized for being one of the fastest growing lenders when it comes to in the metro Atlanta area for new construction loans and new construction lending. What do you attribute that to?
Well, we have we're very proud of that. We are the fastest growing lender in new construction within the metro area. And primarily, I would say that we have a dedicated team that's focused on that. We have two account managers. All they do is work with builders to establish relationships. We put dedicated loan officers on those accounts, call on those builders, and primarily we've been able to gain that quick success because of our process. We don't miss closings, which is very important in that space. And it's, you know, people who don't do this every day, I think, would be surprised at how important it is to hit the closing date, because it's a domino effect. You know, most people are selling a home to buy the next one, and it's the same day. So if you miss, you've pushed that person back, and the person that was buying their house and the person that was buying their house, and it creates a disaster. So it's extremely important, while it seems simple, to hit the closing date.
Now, when it comes to new homes, JD, you know, we had that downturn in the economy and with the housing market and so forth, and it seems to be picking up now. It seems like we're seeing new communities popping up everywhere these days. I mean, how do you see this projecting out in the future? Are we continuing to see this growth, you think?
I think so. I think we had a really long recession, which I think will translate to a long recovery. I think, to me, it's a great thing that we're not, you know, rocketing to the top again. It's been a nice slow pace. I think that bodes well for a stability in the market. We won't see a big top and then, you know, a crash again. I think we're going to have a nice, steady, slow pace for the next 4 to 5 years. And builders will probably lead that.
We're talking with J.D. Crow with Southeast Mortgage here on Gwinnett Business Radio. One of the things that we saw as a fallout of what happened with the whole housing market is now not everybody who just walked through the door got approved. It used to be that way. You just walked in, you're approved, just like that. It almost got to the point where it went to the other extreme, where there was so much paperwork and hoops you had to jump through. Where's it at now? What do you say to that person that's thinking about getting a mortgage, but they're like thinking, oh, it's just too much work these days?
It's certainly a lot more than it was 10 years ago. But I think there is too much caution from the consumer, that they think, oh my goodness, I've got to supply all this stuff and you know, go dig through records and everything else. It's really still fairly simple. It's just more prudent than it was 10 years ago. We actually ask how much income you make and verify it.
Really?
Amazingly.
That is fascinating. I can't believe, why would you do that? Oh, wait a minute. It's a financial obligation.
Yeah. And, you know, you actually have to prove your income. You have to prove that you have the money to put down for the down payment. But it's fairly simple. It's bank statements, pay stubs, tax returns, and some other verification documents. But it's really not as bad as a lot of people make it out to be.
I've heard you mention on a couple of answers, you talk about the process of Southeast Mortgage and that being one of the keys to maybe setting you guys apart from some of your competitors. Without giving away the secret sauce, is there a little bit you can get behind the curtain and show us what's part of your process that helps you get to closing on time and not miss those things?
I think one of them is that we house everybody in one location. We have a seamless flow. It actually, even within the building, on the floor, it's structured as the mortgage process happens. It goes from one cube to the next in a very systematic flow. Having everybody in one location and housed here in Metro Atlanta, again, it seems simple, but it's such a big difference from a lot of lenders, where you may, you know, you work with an originator here in Gwinnett, your processor might be in Dallas, Texas. Your underwriter might be in Houston or Charlotte, and even though it's all electronic and it should be a seamless process, it's really nice to be able to get up walk 10 feet to the next person and ask a question.
Not to overstate it, but a little bit of old-fashioned values with efficiency maybe has caused us to almost slow down or cause more bugs to get in the system. So to be able to just lean back and go, hey, Bob, I need your help with this. This didn't come through or
absolutely
whatever is fantastic. So let me ask you this question then. Talk to our listeners as the expert that you are in the mortgage business. So help the consumer for a second. Mike talked about things have changed in the last 10 years. What kind of questions should a consumer be asking about the mortgage company that they're going to use, whether it's for a refi or when they're looking for a house? Help educate them so that they can know what the right questions are to ask.
It's a great question. I think primarily it's probably going to be a gut feeling. I think I said this before, relationships, I think it's so important. If you get a good feeling when talking to the mortgage originator, you can sense that they have a knowledge base and experience. You know, I think we've done a lot to get rid of the bad actors in the industry. We require licensing now. There's actually background checks. We have continuing education. So while there's a differentiation between banks and non-banks and brokers, everyone's held to a much higher standard. There's a registration. Do the research. Look online. I mean, if people have good consumer feedback and they have not a lot of complaints, you get a good referral from a friend or a family or a real estate agent or a builder that says, hey, we trust these people, you've got a good start.
Well, it's great to hear about all the success you've been having lately with Southeast Mortgage. As you continue to grow, do you see anything that's going to limit you guys for just continuing to do great work?
Yeah, I think that our biggest challenge is hiring great people. Not everybody is a good fit. So we actually have a pretty strenuous hiring process, several interviews, and we're looking not just for somebody who can go out there and get great business and consistently produce, but somebody that's going to fit within our culture and someone that is going to be a long-term fit, because it's very expensive to hire and rehire and rehire. It's a great thing when you can find somebody who believes the way you do, wants to put service first, and have a long-term career.
A couple of very quick clarifying questions. Most of the time, I think you guys get your business through the realtors. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Is there ever a time that consumers can come directly to you, no matter who the realtor is? Well, I heard this interview. This guy sounds great. Sounds like they're local. I want to use them. Is that possible as
well? Absolutely.
Okay. So, and then my last question is, at Southeast Mortgage, is there a limit to where you guys do mortgages? Is it only in the Southeast?
It is.
Okay. So everybody's picture of the Southeast is a little different.
Right.
If you want to get clarification, call directly and ask them, I'm in Virginia. Will you do it there? So everybody can call and figure out it, but just general Southeast area.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, for those that would like to reach out and find out more about Southeast Mortgage and look into your services, where can they get more information?
You can call us 770-279-0222 or on the web, southeastmortgage.com.
All right, J.D. Crow from Southeast Mortgage, thanks for coming in this morning.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks.
All right, and we have another guest coming up in just a second, Julie DeNice with FranNet Atlanta here in our Subaru of Gwinnett Atlanta studios in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. And the show is brought to you by
Subaru of Gwinnett.
Well, Faratech too.
Yes. Well, we'll hear about Faratech in a little bit, but you said
I thought you were going to talk about Faratech. I was like teeing you up because that was what was on top there.
Well, you teed me up by saying we're in the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios.
Oh, so we're just not on the same page,
boy,
are we?
Okay. Can we start the show? No, I'm just kidding. All right. So you did mention that the show is brought to us by Faratech, and Faratech has been in business for 25 years by manufacturing top of the line toner supplies, and they offer an outstanding customer service. Faratech offers a 100% guarantee on all Faratech products, so you know that they stand behind their quality. For more information, our listeners can visit faratech.com. That's FARRATECH.com.
All right, well done, Stephen. Our next guest from FranNet Atlanta, Julie DeNice. And Julie, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sure. Tell us about FranNet Atlanta. What does your company do, and who are your clients?
We are franchise consultants, and we help primarily first-time business owners investigate franchise businesses either as a path to self-employment or as an investment. And so what we do is not necessarily unique. There are other people that represent franchise brands, but who we are is unique because we represent about 200 businesses. We're a national firm that's been in business for 28 years. We're independently owned and operated locally, so we're boots on the street for the people. So we understand what opportunities might be great for Atlanta. It's a very individualized process because what might be a great business for JD could be your worst nightmare.
Okay, so you touched upon it there. Let's go a little deeper as far as maybe why somebody should work with you as opposed to just going on the internet and picking out a franchise online.
Well, there are 3,500 franchise businesses in North America, and so the quality of the franchisor ranges vastly. I think if you start on the internet, you're going to get inundated with information, and then people will buy a franchise for the wrong decisions. So rather than lead with, how do you like frozen yogurt? We really focus on the individual, what their investment capabilities are, what they're trying to achieve, and what their skill set is, because they have to have the right skill set to manage the appropriate business.
Julie, I think you just started to answer this question. I'm going to challenge you to go a little bit deeper because you said you work with the individual. What are some of the character traits? What are some of the what are some of the descriptive words you would use for the right type of person to work with to make a great franchise business owner?
Certainly. Purchasing a franchise is not without an investment of time and money. And there is no correlation between what you spend on the business and what you make on the business. The difference is the shoe leather. Are you looking for a business that you want to work in 40, 50, 60 hours a week? Are you a corporate refugee like I am? Or are you somebody that wants to keep their day job and purchase a business that they can manage on the side? Typically, that semi-absentee, semi-passive business is more expensive because oftentimes there's real estate involved and you're building out a management structure. And so I'd say that we can help someone as long as we can help them become clear on what they're trying to achieve. And they really need to have about $50,000 to invest because these businesses, once you purchase them, don't immediately begin to cash flow. And so that's part of our business model building process.
You called yourself a corporate refugee. So how did you get involved with Franet?
Well, I had worked in financial services for over 30 years, and 25 of those years were with Lehman Brothers. So I had a front row seat to the financial crisis. At one point, I decided that I never wanted to have an outside influence, have control over what I did every day. And so I contacted or met through a networking event my business partner, Leslie Cuban. And so Leslie and I started working together, and eventually they recruited me to join them in their business that they've owned here locally for 18 years. I own my own business. Think of me as an executive recruiter that rides on this national robust platform.
All right. We're talking with Julie DeNice with Franet Atlanta here on Gwinnett Business Radio. And you mentioned earlier, you actually put a monetary figure. You said $50,000 is typically what someone would need. Is that, can they finance that? How does that, or that they have to have that?
Well, a lot of it depends upon how quickly the business cash flows. Franchises are highly leverageable. We do a lot of work with the Small Business Administration that backs loans for first-time business owners. But once you discover what the total cost of the investment is for the business and the franchise development person that you'd eventually be talking to, and I'd help you guide through the research, is going to give you an idea of what that total investment is. And you should have about a third of an equity injection into that business in order to be the appropriate person to own it. Now, that being said, we have businesses that probably the total investment is going to be around $100,000 all the way up to $1 million, plus, dependent upon how many units you want to open and how you want to scale the business.
Julie, you had said at the beginning, you talked about representing 200 businesses, and you also mentioned that there are over 3,000 franchise opportunities. So is this a question of FranNet Atlanta has kind of vetted and they say, this is our stable of the franchise opportunities that we think fit most, if not all, of our clients? Is that so? You guys represent only a fraction of the total number of franchises, but they're the best ones people need to be looking at.
Well, one thing I'm going to start with is our services are free to the clients we work with. Basically, we are like executive recruiters, and we have a franchise headquarters in Louisville, Kentucky, where there are a couple people whose sole responsibility is to source the businesses that we represent for our clients. We then, if their franchising is heavily regulated, and so if they're paperwork looks good, if their management structure is good, if they have happy franchisees, which in this process we call validating with the existing franchisees in that business, then we may accept them into our portfolio. But then they have to come to our training, because we educate our clients, we assess them, we build a business model, and then we start matching them with the businesses.
And so it's free to the franchisee. And so obviously you're paid through the businesses that you guys represent. But
yes,
you also said something that I think is quite important, which is you do represent the franchisee. So it's not like you're just going to go, oh, all 200 of these are great, pick the one you want. You're really trying to find the right match, because the right franchisee in the right situation is going to have a successful business, or have the best chance to build a successful business. So you're not paid by the franchisee, you're paid through the process, but your job is to really kind of be the counselor and kind of help go through all the noise and all the wash, because all 200 of those businesses are like, no, it'll be great. This will be great. This will be great.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Franchise placement is very mutual. And so the franchises that we represent, the franchisors, are only looking for people that are qualified to be in their business. And so they pay attention to the people we send to them, because they know that they have been educated and pre-qualified to be a fit for their business. There is one thing that I want to make sure, because I'm very excited about an upcoming event we have on March 4 at Le Meridian in the perimeter area, that if you're mildly curious about franchise ownership, this event is face-to-face with franchisors, and so we have about 10 businesses that are coming in to Atlanta as far as California, and we'll have a two-hour program that talks about what you need to think about when you're thinking of investing or being a sole proprietor in a franchise business, and then you'll have the opportunity to speak face-to-face with these franchisors. So, and it's sponsored by SCORE and FranNet. So if you don't know who SCORE is, they give free business advice, very active in Gwinnett County. I'm a SCORE mentor, and so I'm delighted to be a representative of their brand too.
March 4th, give the location and then
March
the
4th,
again.
2017.
That's
for
right.
Those
yes,
that might be listening to this
yes.
after that date.
2020.
Exactly.
Right.
Don't show up at Le Meridian on March 4th, 2018.
Right.
Because this event is next month.
Right.
And then I can provide anybody information that they might like.
And what's the time?
3 to 5 in the afternoon.
Perfect.
There is a small cost, but all proceeds benefit SCORE, which is a not-for-profit.
Here's a quick question for you. This is the $50,000 question or the $1 million question. Kind of depends. Is there a quote-unquote hot franchise right now that everybody's kind of wanting to get into?
I can't answer that question. There are a lot of really good businesses, but this is so individually focused. Like I said before, what might be a great business for you could be somebody else's worst nightmare. And we're trying to avoid that mistake.
Mike, I'll answer the question for her. The hot franchise is FranNet, because they help you find the right franchise for you.
All right. Well, then for those for those that would like to find out more, and you've piqued their interest, Julie, how can they find out more information?
Well, you can call me at my number, 678-249-9867. We have a local website called Atlanta Franchise Experts that provides a lot of information. Or you can reach me at jdenise@frannet.com.
Great. Julie Denise with FranNet Atlanta. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
So, Julie paid me a great compliment by saying I said the exact right thing there. That was a well stated, I think she said, or something like that. So I'm going to try and state something else well before we get to our last guest, Mike. And that is that we are inside the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios, and love is what makes a Subaru. Our listeners can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience. Subaru of Gwinnett is where people sell cars. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join the family today. Come in and see the difference. If you're already a Subaruist, or even if you're not, you can follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
All right, Stephen, our third, you
was
did a great
well
job.
Stated?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I saw you looking at me like fishing for a compliment.
Absolutely.
Tell me how good I just did.
I like a good pat on the back, Mike.
All right, Pat accepted. All right, our next guest here from the law firm of Anderson, Tate & Carr is Matt Reeves. And I understand, Matt, that Anderson, Tate & Carr is the largest full-service law firm in the area. Tell us about the law firm, and how do you quantify that you are the largest?
Sure. Mike and Stephen, thanks for having me on today. Anderson, Tate & Carr, we have about 30 attorneys. We are a full-service law firm, so we do a lot of legal work for people like the guest earlier with real estate closings, with business sales, with franchise issues, estate planning, criminal, divorce. I do eminent domain for property owners and other real estate and business disputes. So full-service law firm. So in terms of the spectrum of work that we do, as well as the number of attorneys, we're the largest in the area.
Really? From A to Z, you
absolutely
pretty much can cover it all.
Absolutely.
How about, and if anyone wants to dispute that, they'll take him to court.
Now you're scaring me.
Yeah.
I better ask the right questions. Tell me about the history of the firm. How long
sure.
have you been around?
We've been around for nearly 30 years. We started in 1988. Tom and Ethel Anderson started the firm. Tom Tate came out to Gwinnett County from a law firm in Atlanta. And then over the years, we've added a lot more lawyers.
Okay.
We're now up to 30. When I started in 2003, we had about a dozen lawyers. So we've grown significantly over the last 15 years or so from the growth here in Gwinnett and North Fulton and this side of Atlanta.
You mentioned, Matt, that you kind of specialize in eminent domain.
Absolutely.
What does that mean?
Sure. Eminent domain is when the government takes private property for a public use here in our area.
They wouldn't try that, would they?
Well, it's necessary. We have traffic here in Atlanta. We have kids who need to go to school. Every city wants to have a good new city hall. The courthouse needs to have ample room and parking and all that. So the government needs to take property from time to time. And here in America, the check and balance is you've got to have due process and the government has to pay you fairly. That was from bad experiences that had happened in the old world where the king would come along and say, I need your property for a road and here's £5. And they had to just grin and bear it. But the colonists, they fought and died for the Bill of Rights, the right of just and adequate compensations in the Fifth Amendment. Everybody thinks of pleading the Fifth in a criminal case, of not self-incriminating yourself. But in the Fifth Amendment also is the requirement that if the government comes to take your property, whether it's land or another property right, they have to follow due process and give you just and adequate compensation.
Do you, more often than not, you are on the side of working for the private landowner?
Yes. The state DOT and cities and counties have their own attorneys who work for them. And my law firm represents private property owners and business owners.
So you've been doing this since 2003. Can you give an example maybe of the last few years I won't say a typical case because there probably isn't a typical case, but as close as you can to a typical case of what you would do.
Sure. Some examples that come to mind. I see you have a baseball shirt on, Stephen. That reminds me of a few years ago when we were both coaching at Peachtree Ridge Park. Mm-hmm. When I was in law school, the county came to acquire what's now Peachtree Ridge Park from a longtime landowner. The school board had acquired Peachtree Ridge High School and Parsons Elementary from the same landowner years before. And so this was the second time he had been affected by eminent domain. But my law firm helped that gentleman throughout that process of getting paid fairly when the government needed his property for a public use. And you think about parks, and is that really a public use? But, you know, obesity and open space, things like that. People enjoy having parks here in the area. It does have public benefits. But when the government comes to take your property for something good like that, they need to pay you fairly. Also, we have a lot of Falcons fans, I'm sure, listening in the audience. I remember when the city of Atlanta came to expand the stadium, the Falcon Stadium, there was a church that was impacted. And so they went through that process of eminent domain, or at least negotiations prior to eminent domain. I was not involved in that one. But Archer High School here in Gwinnett County, they had a 6.5-day jury trial, was involved in that one. Sugarloaf Parkway extension where we are right now in Athens, when that was extended, represent a lot of people who, in that case, were homeowners who had their home demolished for that road project. And so that was a gut-wrenching process for them. So just a few miles from here, Buford Highway and Pleasant Hill Road, that's a high-traffic area that was completely reworked about a decade ago and represents property owners in that.
Yeah, I think the perception is that if the government wants something, they're going to get it. I mean, is there ever a time where the homeowner may actually have a chance to defend their property, say, no, this, you know, for whatever reason, the history, whatever, can they actually ever win, or does the government pretty much win every time?
Well, you know, there's a saying, it's hard to fight City Hall and win. One thing that's guaranteed here in Georgia, if the government comes knocking on your door and you don't put together a team who could defend against that, you are going to get railroaded. Because in Georgia, the way the law is set up is the property owner has to put together their own legal team to see what they're entitled to. In other states, Florida and other states around the country, sometimes there's more financial assistance and expert assistance to property owners. Here in Georgia, you've got to go find a lawyer, you've got to go find an appraiser and an engineer.
And you've got to pay these people. So you're already kind of behind the eight ball.
There you go. Yep, that's our system. But a lot of times the government starts so low on their money that if you put together a case and you show what is just and adequate compensation, and you end up paying for your attorney and appraiser after the fact. But yes, you have to put together a team to be the check and balance here in Georgia.
Kind of a same, kind of coming off that question. Have you ever defended anybody where you did just you were working with somebody that just refused to sell, did not want to give up, and you actually won that case?
Well, good question. There are two tracks.
And I hate to use the word win the case, because sure, if they still get their money, they're still kind of winning in a way. So I don't know how to phrase it. But
two different tracks. 99% of the time you're fighting over money in a condemnation. But in a rare situation, you have a situation where the government has a legal defect in their attempt to take private property. I have seen that before, and a lot of times that happens prior to eminent domain when you walk through the issue with the government and you show them there will be massive damages or if they have a legal defect. Here's one example. On a road project right now, the government has federal funds involved in the project, and there's a bunch of strings that are attached that come with that where they have to provide relocation assistance. And so if we point out, hey, you have not followed that federal relocation assistance, a lot of times the government will have to take a step back and rework their timelines and their proposal because they haven't honored the rights that are there.
Matt, are there times when the government can't do eminent domain, like burial grounds, yes, cemeteries?
Yes. The Kelo case 10 years ago, that's a good example. In that case, the U.S. Supreme Court said that the government can take private property for a private redevelopment. They broadly define public use. In Georgia, people rose up against that. Rise up is on my mind here with the Falcons, but people were very mad that when the Constitution says you can't take private property, or you can take private property only for public use, that now that the U.S. Supreme Court says you could take it for private use. So in Georgia, a lot of laws were implemented that says you can't take private property for another private use. So there are a lot of examples where the government can't pick winners and losers here in Georgia and give one person's property to another private property owner.
Matt, every single question you answer for us shows your skill and expertise and knowledge in the area. One of the things we like to ask certain business owners that come in here is we kind of ask about their competition. I'm assuming there's probably a few other lawyers that can help with eminent domain, but the reality is going to you and to Anderson, Tate & Carr, I'm assuming you guys are maybe the leaders in this area.
Yes,
one of them.
There's a good continuing education class the state bar hosts every year, once a year. And when I go to that continuing ed class, probably about 75% or more of the lawyers at that work for the government. So of the lawyers in this area, a small percentage represent the property owners. I can feel good about what we do.
And the reason I ask that question is because going back to your answer to a question of put a team together, this is not the thing to go to the family lawyer who helped you do your estate plan, which you guys do in a separate sector, but this, you really want the specialist here. You really want someone who knows what they're doing.
Yes. Eminent domain has a lot of procedures that were written by the government in favor of the government. There's a bad example I could think of where a church south of Atlanta, I think in Henry County, went to their local general practitioner to respond to a condemnation, and the lawyer didn't file the right stuff, and so the church didn't get compensation due to some technical defect in the filing. So it does benefit a property owner to put together an expert legal team.
And the condemnation is the legal term for when the government comes and says, hey, we want that property.
Correct. Eminent domain, condemnation.
Okay.
Right.
And so, and Mike asked, hey, you know, there's probably some, obviously there's a cost to it. You guys aren't running a pro bono all the time.
Right.
But how do people start? Is it just the matter of, hey, let's have an initial conversation.
Sure.
And see where you're at and see what you need.
The government's obligated to give you an offer when they come to you to take your private property. So bring that offer to a lawyer, call immediately.
And when your first piece of advice, say never accept that first offer.
Amen.
Generally, it's going to be low. I have seen instances recently where the government has sort of cut out some of the
shenanigans,
back and forth, and they put a higher offer out there. But I would say that's going to be in the 10% or less time. A lot of times they get an appraiser who works for the government most of the time, and they're going to give a very low appraisal. And so there is a large upside. Also, there are property interests that are not affected. I saw one eminent domain trial where the lawyer cut the tip off of his tie and said the government wants to pay for this part of the tie, but if you cut the tip off, it messes up the whole thing. So that's called consequential damages in a condemnation matter. And so examining the big picture of what the government is damaging is important.
All right. And I know we concentrated on eminent domain because that's your specialty. But again, as we wrap up the interview, we want to remind our listeners that Anderson, Tate & Carr handles all kinds of legal matters. For those that would like to find out more, and either about eminent domain or any of the other things legally concerned, how can they find out more about your firm?
Mike, Anderson, Tate & Carr's website is atclawfirm.com. Phone number 770-822-0900. We're located in the Duluth area near the Gwinnett Arena, or Infinite Energy Center, I guess now.
Yeah, get that right. Matt Reeves, Anderson, Tate & Carr, the law firm, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Stephen.
Big thank you again to Matt for joining us. Also, J.D. Crow with Southeast Mortgage and Julie Denice with FranNet Atlanta. Quick reminder, you can listen to the show anytime 24/7 by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. You can also follow us and like us on Facebook and on Twitter at Gwinnett Business Radio. Any final words, Stephen?
No, I'm very scared with a lawyer in the room to say anything that might be used against me in a court of law.
He's going to take that chair from you right now. He wants to sit in your chair. It's nice and comfy.
Sure.
Government's coming in.
That's right.
Actually, the government's coming in. He's going to defend you.
That's right. He's going to make sure that I get just and fair compensation for my chair in this condemnation eminent domain case.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Another show in the books. We will see you next time. And on that, I'm Mike Salmon for our producer, Z. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.